She doesn't know that the topic we want to discuss tonight is so short and so simple. The Holy Spirit will teach us in the name of Jesus. And so our Father and our God, we commit tonight our Bible study unto your able hands. Holy Spirit of God, the word of God says you are the best teacher. Come and teach us in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, teach us by yourself in the name of Jesus. Oh, your word says it is not he that says the word or that heareth the word that shall be blessed on the last day, but he that doeth the word. Father, we ask for the doing power. Give unto us in the name of Jesus. We ask for the doing grace. Give unto us in the name of Jesus. By this teaching, make us better Christians in the name of Jesus. Prepare us, O Lord God, even for your use in a greater dimension in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's have our seat. The Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Our coming tonight will not be in vain in the name of Jesus. And as we come to fellowship with him, to learn at his feet, he will teach us by himself in the name of Jesus. Like I said, the topic we are going to discuss tonight is a very simple one. Even though we have not discussed it, to the best of my knowledge, in a very, very long while, I know that every one of us here sitting down knows this topic very, very, very well. I want to title it, Be Prepared. Be Prepared. Let me confess upfront that I do not lay claim to the understanding of this topic. I may give it some meaning by myself, but I know that with the presence of Holy Spirit using all of us tonight, I am going to get a better understanding. And anyone in my shoes, I pray, will still also get a better understanding in the name of Jesus. So we are just going to read the scripture, and I will highlight some sections and ask a lot of questions, which we will all prefer answers to as the Holy Spirit leads us. Yeah, Be Prepared is the title, but it can also be called the parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins. Some scripture refer to it as the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. The parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. They all mean the same thing. And is the scripture we are going to read is Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we are going to read from verse 1 to 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. In my Bible, it is written in red. If you have the Bible that is written in black and red, I suppose it will be written in red in yours too. And this signifies that this parable, these words, come directly from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. So we can deduce that from the word go. Because it was written in red, it means these words are spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. I begin to read Matthew 25 from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. I pray that we will not belong to the camp of the foolish in the name of Jesus. they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I pray that the door of heaven will not be shut against us in the name of Jesus. Afterwards came also the virgins, the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Verse 12. But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." This is the story. There are several terms that were used in this scripture that we have just read. The Bible calls the 10 of them virgins. I hope this connotes something about their Christian life. The Bible says they were all virgins. This could connote purity. Yes, they were all pure. They were all serving God faithfully. They were all not doing what is wrong. They were doing what is right. They were following the injunctions of the Lord. But yet, five of them were full, while the other five were wise. The Bible talks about the bridegroom in this scripture. The Bible talks about the bridegroom. But we know in the concluding part, in verse 12, "But he answered and said," in verse 12, it said, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore." In fact, the answer of that one was in verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord." So they were calling the bridegroom to open for them. So the bridegroom is our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The 10 of them have lamps. All of the 10 of them, they have lamps. So what does that connote? They all have lamps, the 10 of them. Five of them took oil along, extra oil in their lamp. The foolish one did not take oil. What does that oil signify? Even along the way, when they were waiting for the bridegroom, do you know that all the 10 of them slumbered and slept at night? Which means they have so many things in common. They were doing whatever they were doing together. Whether they do If it is wrong to slumber it at night, all of them did. If it is not right, all of them did. But only one thing just distinguished them. So it means that whatever is common to the wise, as far as this scripture is concerned, is common to even those foolish virgins. But the only difference is that they had extra oil. When we read further also, we discover that the bridegroom, none of them, either the foolish or the wise, none of them knew when the bridegroom was going to come. There was none of them that have the idea, oh, it's going to be in the night or in the morning or this is the exact time. No one knew. So, it's common, everything that is happening to the foolish, happening to the wise, is also happening to the wise. Even though they were wise, they didn't know when the bridegroom will come. So, that is not what distinguished them. The only thing that distinguished them, as we read that story, was the oil that they carry. Also, when we read further, when they ask for, when they first made the announcement that the bridegroom was there and everybody trimmed their lamp, they all trimmed their lamp. And one thing that baffles me, again, is that when, even though they were together, even though they were all virgins, when the foolish asked for extra oil from the wise did not say, "And because we are together, we are all virgins, we are this, we are that, let's share with you." They said no. And this is one thing that we find difficult to say for many Christians. We find it difficult to say no. Rather, we want to be nice. We want to feel that it is not scriptural to deny your Christian brother, your Christian sister, whatever it is, as long as it is not sin that they ask for. Even if it means you have to go out of your line to provide such, we want to. But these wise ones, they said no. So that's another thing that I want us to note. We read further also, and we discovered that the door was shut. The door was shut. Immediately the bridegroom came and the wise virgins went in with him. The door was shut. May the door of glory not shut, be shut against us in the name of Jesus. I took note of something. In verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And this is the answer of the bridegroom. "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. But in other places where Christ has said, I know you not, usually he adds, ye workers of iniquity, or ye that works iniquity." But in this place, he didn't say that. I am not sure whether they are workers, but whether they are workers of iniquity. Maybe that was why the door got shut against them. But Jesus Christ did not call them workers of iniquity. Many places that he has said, "I know you not," he will add to it, "ye that works iniquity." But against these foolish virgins, he didn't call them workers of iniquity. But finally, in verse 13, he told us, he warned us seriously. He said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I pray that any times he comes, he will find us as the wise virgins in the name of Jesus. We will not do all and forget the oil that is required for us to reign with him in the name of Jesus. So I want to rest my case here and ask us, whichever area we God gives us understanding, Holy Spirit gives us understanding, let's contribute, let's discuss. Yes, I was asking questions as I was. Yeah, I was asking a lot of questions. So these are the questions I want us to answer in our contributions. I will call names. If we begin to look back, I will call names. Thank God I know the name of every one of us sitting down here. Don't worry, I will call names. Holy Spirit has given all of us understanding. The little I understood, I've said it. So let's contribute, brethren. Particularly, what is this oil? What is this oil? We know the bridegroom. Being virgin in this scripture, what does it connote?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I will start off. Maybe I'm here to learn, but I will start off. So I will start off from the verse 3 of that. The Bible recorded that, actually 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their, I want us to look at that. For that verse 3 says, they that were foolish took two things, their lamps, and took no oil with them. They only took them, so they only took the lamp. But those that were wise took two things. They took the oil and they took the lamp. So as you were speaking, sir, the Bible says that the word of God is the lamp unto our feet. And if you look at my own understanding from that third verse is that those foolish white bride, they had the word of God. They know the word of God. You know, there's a difference between knowing the word of God and knowing the word of God. Some of us, we know the word of God, but we don't actually know the power of that word of God. And then the Bible recorded that wise men took the oil. If you look at the Bible, the oil most of the time signifies the Holy Spirit. So the wise men took the word, had the word of God, and had the Holy Spirit that activates the word of God, that makes things, that helps. Because the Bible says, Jesus, when Jesus was leaving, he said, the Holy Spirit has to come that would help, direct, and lead us and comfort us till the end. So those wise people had what it needed to actually run the race to the end triumphantly. But the foolish just had the word, which was just the logo, not the rhema. And for you to get the rhema of the word of God, you need the Holy Spirit who would interpret the word to you. And the Bible recorded that and I think that was what the difference between the wise and the foolish. They did not have the Holy Spirit, which was the oil that they lacked. And something jumped at me, sir, as you were saying, that the five of them, when the foolish asked them, I'm sure the foolish would have was, maybe they had a representative. And there was another representative of the wife, because you said, you can read there when the Bible said, it did not say I, we. So it just jumped at me that, again, it is very important for us that as we journey in this race, who are the people we are keeping around us? That matters a lot. Because those five people identified themselves together to know what is right. They knew that it was needful for them to have the Spirit of God. While the other foolish just knew that, I can quote Genesis to Revelation if anybody should tell me to quote it. But actually, that's Holy Spirit, which is needed, they don't have. So that's why it's important that we look at our those people surrounding us, because it matters a lot. It will either help us to make heaven, or it will actually, God forbid, deter us from making heaven. So as you have said, sir, that is the few things that has jumped at me.
Amen. God will continue to grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's also, I agree with the kind of understanding that I have, that it is possible for us to know the word of God. We still need the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that even explains and interprets the word of God unto us. He's the one that will energize us in the race. I pray that God Almighty will help us, that we will not neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, sir.
Go ahead. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Before you contribute, let me just summarize where we are for those of our brethren that are just coming. The title is Be Prepared. Be Prepared. And the scripture we read is Matthew 25, 1 to 13. It talks about the parable of the 10 virgins, how 5 were really, really, really prepared, the wise ones, and 5 were foolish. But when we read that scripture, we saw a lot of similarities among the wise and the foolish. They were all virgins. They all had lamps. They all slumbered at the same time. They were all expectants of the bridegroom. So they have so many things in common. But the only thing that they did not have is that they didn't have oil. And that makes a significant difference in their life. Because at the end of the day, the not having the oil made them to miss the bridegroom. Whereas those who had oil were able to meet with the bridegroom. So we are contributing. We want to know the significance of being a virgin in this scripture, who is the bridegroom, what's the oil that they took, what is the lamp that they had, and everything. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Ajibade.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
This is why I like Bible study.
I'm sorry?
I said this is why I like Bible study.
Amen.
I can't remember. I think it was when Brother Femi was teaching the last time. He mentioned something, I'm not sure if it's Brafemia. Somebody mentioned this like in the last week or the last 2 weeks, mentioned this story. He didn't even read the passage. And I was like, the story of the 10 virgins has been quite a while. I should read it. I didn't even know it was going to come up today. It came to my mind. I was walking in I heard you.
You had the reading oil. It. You had like, the oil.
Wow. I think this is God sending a message to me. I don't know about you, but to me. When Jesus was teaching, he was particularly because of the understanding of the people he was trying to teach at the time, to use stories, parables, as we call them. The whole idea was to be able to bring the message to the level of their knowledge, to relate it to, in much literary terms now, to relate it to things that they can relate with. So we talk about the story, the parable of the talents, the parable of this one that we are talking about, the 10 virgins, and quite a number of others. Now, the goal wasn't necessarily, based on my understanding, now I stand to be corrected, the goal was more to, like I said earlier, get them to a place where they can, I'm trying to look for the word to use, where they can be able to understand, more like at a layman's level, what Jesus was trying to teach them about God's relationship with humans in general, especially in relation to his love, as well as God's judgment, how despite him being a loving God, he's also a God who is a God of judgment. And he made that pretty clear, even with this story, a whole lot more. Like you said, the only distinguishing thing was established in verse 2 and verse 3. Five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. If we stopped reading it there, we already know that there's a distinguishing attribute between the two groups of the virgins. But then, verse 3 now made us to understand why some were classified as wise and some were classified as foolish. The only thing being not having extra oil. And while I was seated thinking over this, something had been on my mind, which I thought I was going to share to, I feel is a good time to share too. Many of the times, as Christians, we get carried away with self-righteousness. A message is preached, and instantly, the devil is helping us to locate people in the audience that the message is ideal for. But the message is not for us. So while the message is being preached, we are thinking in our mind, I wish Brother Lagbaja is here. He needs to hear this. Meanwhile, that message that the Holy Spirit is sending out that day has a part to play in the life of everybody. But your mind is busy dissecting it and placing it for the right individuals while you take nothing. So we are busy with self-righteousness. In our mind, we believe that this one is not for me. This one is, so we keep seeking it out. Whereas God is sending something to us. For me, that is the oil. Because those are the extra that we take along the way. It's the extra that we take along. It's what is going to sustain us. Because now, what Jesus was trying to establish there is the uncertainty in the time when it's going to come. So nobody knows. Along the way, some people who are standing will sleep. Some people, just like the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, they both slept off, which by biblical terms is not a good characteristic of a standing believer. Sleeping off, in fact, when Jesus was praying on the mountain when he was going to be crucified, and he took with him even the most spiritual, who were closest to him of the apostles, and he went to pray, and he came back and saw them sleeping. He was not happy that they were sleeping. So using sleeping in that parable doesn't describe it as a good thing. It describes it as a bad thing. So everybody will sleep at some point or the other. But what distinguished those other five was the extra. The extra that they had picked up along the way. The extra that was in their reservoir. But many of the time, we don't get that extra because we are too busy with our self-righteousness. I am too busy thinking about the message and trying to figure out whether there's anything for me in it. And I realize I've not gotten the extra For me, that is actually what the oil represents. Because that is what the Holy Spirit said. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we have learned. If there's nothing to remember, there's nothing to remind you. It's not going to work magic. If there's nothing in the memory, if there's nothing you have stored, there's no word that you have meditated. That's the word. He said we should meditate on the word day and night. So if there's nothing you have meditated on, there's nothing for you to be reminded of. There's no "it is written" for you to quote. Because you cannot quote a word that you don't even believe in. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, all of us will contribute. Yeah. Go ahead, Musa.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is a very deep topic. Every time we read this area, it's really, really, you know, takes me to another level. Why am I saying that? Because there are so many things mentioned in the passage that we read that are very, very important. We're talking about virgins. Who can you liken virgin to be? Born again Christian believer who had got, you know, who had been, you know, you have given your life to Christ. But then we talked about the lamp and the oil. The oil is supposed to continue to fuel the lamp. The Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world." What does that mean? And in fact, it's first of all talk that is it possible to put a light under the bushel and cover it? It talks about, in some cases, we are called flaming, you know, ministers. He called us flaming. That is continuously burning. What happened to this? We talked about one important word that Brother Shola talked about sleeping. Sleeping means that you are not careful anymore. You are a believer and you think that's the end of the whole thing. And then look at the time. Don't turn it up. I don't like it. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at the time when they knew that there was no oil. So definitely, they were not careful. While others, because this particular topic that we are studying today talked about your race to the end. You don't know when the bridegroom will come. He called virgins. Virgins, you know, by that standard, there are those people who are being prepared to marry, right? And the bridegroom has come now. The choice for him, five people were not ready, in fact, to be counted or to be noticed because of their, lackadaisical attitude. They have forgotten where they are. And it happens in the household of faith. Some of us, just like you have mentioned, we think that we are serving God. Whereas we are now falling. Some of us are falling. Falling, not that it's not like that you are falling down. But you have relaxed. And you are looking at it that, oh, this thing. The Lord will come suddenly. That's what happened. They never knew the time he was coming. They never told the 10 virgins that he would be coming. He just showed up. Only five of them were ready. This particular topic is talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's either we say when the Lord tarries, that if he doesn't show up as we are here now. That's why this topic is just telling us that every second, every moment of our lives as a believer is very important. We will not miss it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We, some people, believe that what we are doing is the right thing. Oh, we think that we are on the right way. We have not sat down and begin to, you know, think, where is my standard with the Lord? When he called me, there was so this fire burning. Where is that fire now? Where is the fire? That's exactly what this area is telling us. He talked about light, and you see the other one that you mentioned, sir. Some people, I think it's in Matthew 5, 14 to 15. We have done this in your name. We have done this in your name. We have done this. What did he tell them? Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. The one you are mentioning. It doesn't mean somebody who does the work in a very, you know, shabby manner is a worker of iniquity. Let's pray for it. It's not when you have iniquities in your hand. But when the work comes diligently, you are facing things. I mean, I don't want to share this. We are talking about prayer. And someone was telling us that the type of prayer we are praying is not the type of prayer we're supposed to be praying. And some people are still arguing. This, that. Where do you want to, how can you quantify your work? That is the most important thing. This passage using virgin, using sleeping, using other things, is telling us something. That the Lord God Almighty, who is going to check the work of our hand, is looking at every one of us. And it's just a warning to all of us that be prepared. If you have been, if you have reduced, you are praying only 1 hour before, and you are now praying 30 minutes, there is problem. You should upgrade. That's the only thing that this passage is telling us. May God give us that, you know, sense of urgency to you know, attend to this situation in the mighty name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. A lot have been said already. I just want to point out what I have taken from that passage. I've taken the fact that we, all of us seated here, are the virgins that the Bible is talking about. We are the virgins. Amongst us here, there are foolish ones, there are wise ones. And this is the time that we are preparing our oil for the lamp. That is number one thing that I have taken. Some of us are foolish, some are wise. A lot has been said about the Holy Spirit and all of that, and living a holy life and in your services and everything unto God. Standing and, you know, being aware of the fact that nobody knows when the bridegroom will come. And so we are supposed to be prepared at all times. But that's not really what I want to bring out. What I'm trying to bring out is that why won't the prepared ones, you know, lend their oil to the unprepared ones? Why was it difficult for them to lend oil to those who didn't have oil? They could have just given them a little portion, and then the thing will not be exhausted so that everybody will enter, you know, for the banquet. But there's a reason why that was not done. They could not help them. Because this race that we are in, I used to tell my children, I say, if you are calling yourself a Christian because mommy is a deaconess, you're wasting your time. You have to have a personal relationship with God, because the food is not for outsiders. I will not cook my pot of food and go to the road and begin to share it. When I finish cooking, I'm having my children in mind first of all. I used to tell them that. Then today I was telling my sister who called. I said, she was telling me her sister-in-law, who is a singer, a gospel singer, known gospel singer, who has packed out of her matrimonial home. And I was like, what happened? Oh, that there's this pastor and that pastor I know. This pastor that had been feeding her with some stuff. She even, introduced my sister to that pastor. Oh, pray for, see vision, this one, that. There was one time he called me and told me a story. I said, look, don't go there. Don't go there. If there's anything, that is happening to me, God will tell me, don't go there. I quickly detach myself. Thank God for my sister. She detached herself. But that's how he kept deceiving this woman until she packed out of the house. If she had a conviction in her spirit that she is a child of God who can call on God and receive from God, that won't happen. There's something Nigerians call follow, follow. When we do follow, follow in the church of God, we end up as foolish virgins. We ought to have a personal relationship with him. What the illustration here, the necessities that this parable is illustrating is the fact that Christianity, our race, is a personal thing. Personal faith, repentance, baptism, personal holiness, personal service to God, and personal preparedness cannot be borrowed. It cannot be lent. You can't collect from your mother. You can't collect from your father. You can't collect from Daddy Gio. It's a personal thing. I cannot collect from Pastor Mo. I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I have to make conscious effort to see that my lamp is burning. At some point, it's very possible that the lamp will go down. But glory be to God, because when we realize it and we get up, he's always there to help us. Because we are human beings, certain things will make you to begin to slow down. You can't run like you were running before. But his grace is available. This topic is talking to us. We are the virgins. I pray that the Lord will help us. On that day, we don't want to borrow anybody because it cannot be transferred. It's a personal thing. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. So when they were talking about the 10 virgins, something just came to mind where it says, you know, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. And it said those that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. And the question that just came to mind is like, what is representing oil? And the first thing that came to mind is salvation. Know the ministry we have been called into. You know, one of the things the Bible says is that we are to perfect our holiness in the fear of God. So you can pretty much say the foolish were those who were not perfecting their holiness in the fear of God. They were those that were taking their salvation and the ministry they have been called into with levity. That's why when the bridegroom came and they were saying to let us borrow some of your oil. That's just like someone, like what Deaconess Owosu was talking about. Someone depending on the salvation of someone else to reach heaven. You know, like because their family member is a pastor, then it should be fine for them. They don't have to do anything. And that's not the case. And it really tells us how much this is an individual race. You can't run the race of someone else. You have to run your own race. You can't depend on someone else's salvation. You have to fight. That's why the Bible said, fight your own salvation with fear and trembling. The 5 that were wise were fighting their own salvation with fear and trembling. Those that were foolish were trying to depend on the salvation of someone else instead of seeking personal relationship with God and understanding that he can come at any time. So I'm looking at this message. It's a warning to all of us, including myself, that what are we really doing? How are we perfecting? Are we perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Are we holding on to the salvation God has called us into? When we talked about the armor of God, I always looked at it. Why did they call it the helmet of salvation? Is it because they're talking about remember why you are called and use that as a point to every day in all that you do, whether it's preaching the word, living by the word of God, doing the works of God, always have, you know, have the whole armor of God on, but most importantly, the helmet of salvation. Because helmet salvation, to me, it's like you must remember every day that, you know, like Paul said, I die daily, that Christ must increase in me, and that the works of the flesh must decrease. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want to, sorry, Daddy.
1 minute, Mommy, you have contributed.
I know, Daddy, sorry.
No problem.
Don't at me. So when we're talking about the five foolish and five wise, just don't know me. That, you know, when, this is just my human understanding. Oh, God help me. So now, they said the ten started together. And obviously, the five foolish saw that they had vessel. And the vessel contained oil. Okay? Because I can prove that. Because the Bible says in that chapter...
25.
No, chapter 7. No, chapter 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us, okay, your oil. So they knew they were carrying oil. Not that they did not know. But as I was reading that, I said, God. See, so that means my human understanding. Because if I see somebody carrying some absurd, the foolish people would have said, what is wrong with this one? Why are they carrying vessel? Which is one of the things that happen in Christendom. We crucify. Oh, that person is praying 24/7. Is he think he's the only one?
His own is too much.
His own is too much. So now when it was now need for them to get it, of course, those ones are not going to give them. Because they'll say, Shebi, you were making jest of me. You were laughing at me. I was going to Bible study. Oh, no. You were laughing at me that I'm always joining prayer meeting. You are laughing at me that I'm always going to convention. So, I mean, that was what I got there. And then, sir, if you look at that another verse, see, I always thought that the oil went down. The oil did not go down. I mean, the oil did not finish. The Bible said their oil went down. But that did not say the oil was dead. So the oil was not dead. Why did they thought that they needed more oil? Why didn't they think that the oil that they still had could still take them to meet the bridegroom? And as I was just studying, pride was what came to my mind. The Bible says that pride comes...
Praise the Lord.
Sir?
Yeah, but their lamp gone out.
No, Daddy, if you look at... Daddy, the Bible,
in
if you look...
verse 18, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
Yeah,
their lamp actually gone out.
Daddy,
that's why they are asking for oil.
No, Daddy, if you look, because that's why if you're doing studying, it's good that we read all versions. They did not say it went out. They said that the oil went to die. But my question is, the light did not go down. That's my point. So what made them think that they needed, that light that they had could not take them to the bridegroom?
Okay.
Well, that's just my, this is just what I want to throw out. They didn't say the lamp went down. I mean, they didn't say the lamp went out. There's a difference between out and down.
Okay, let's continue because Daddy too, we have to contribute. Yeah. They lost something. Either the light or something. Amen. Let's have one class. Hello. The Holy Spirit will help us in the name of Jesus. So let's Daddy contribute. Daddy had our argument and I'm sure he is going to include it in his own contribution too.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's always a very great opportunity to be refreshed every week. And I pray that our efforts shall not be in vain in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I think as somebody said, this passage is very deep. Very, very deep. Jesus, somebody gave some introduction, you know, which was wonderful. How Jesus tried to use something clear, simple to bring understanding to the people. You know, and to bring out key issues and important issues. 10 virgins. Remember, virgins equally equipped. 10 virgins equally equipped. Salvation, Holy Spirit. Brethren, every one of us, well equipped. We were saved. We were even baptized into the Holy Spirit. We received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Equipped. And then the race started. Now, the virgin, there was a purpose. And the purpose was to meet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom did not tell any one of them when he was coming. He didn't say, I'll be coming in the night or in the day. He didn't say, I'll be coming 2 days' time or 3 days' time. Which means, just like us, we started this race. And Christ is telling us, run this race till the end. Run this race till the end. You cannot be foolish along the line by thinking that, by assuming the time the race was going to end. You cannot be foolish by thinking that, oh, Christ coming is going to be when we are in the church. You can't be foolish by thinking that, oh, it is going to be another 10 years' time. You know, all you must do is that this thing that God has given us from the beginning, we must keep it till He comes. The salvation, the Holy Spirit. Now, the greatest thing that made these virgins to be foolish is the first thing is that, and because you also raise a question, why is it that the wise didn't share that this thing? You are going to be foolish by asking man to give you the Holy Spirit. Why didn't they turn to God? Why were they talking to human beings? Just as we carry our problems to brethren, and the Holy Spirit and God is there. Just as we go to find answers, solutions, when we can call on the Holy Spirit. And because the wise didn't even receive the alarms from any man, how are they going to share it with anybody? And that's why they have to say, this that we have. In fact, we are holding on to this. It can't be enough for us. Because they know if they lose it, they too have to be seeking to find it. So, now we were talking about lamp going out or lamp going down. The important thing here is this, and I want to link it all with sleep. The sleep that is in the Bible here is not the sleep we are thinking about. Okay? Jesus merely wanted people to know. All the bridegroom, none of them expected the bridegroom to come in the night. Night is for sleep. That's why they went to bed. And naturally too. That's why they trimmed their alarms and went to bed. But in that midnight, the bridegroom came. Now, that is the point where you will know those who were prepared. Those who the Holy Spirit is already gone. those who are no more in Christ, those who are one leg in, one leg out, those who are neither hot nor cold, those who are, you know, neither there nor here, of course, they cannot be ready. The ones who went to meet Christ were the ones who knew they were ready. And Christ will not take anyone who is not ready. So the bridegroom went for the virgins who were prepared and ready for him. Very scary. And as we said, it means that this race, we just have to run it until when Christ say it is finished. Not when we think it is finished. So when the bridegroom came, and those ones who were not, that's why Christ said, will I still meet fate in the earth when I come? And he also said something. And you were trying to ask, why didn't he say, oh ye of workers of iniquity?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to say that. They were not ready. I know you not. Anyone who is not ready, Christ does not know. Romans 8:9. It talks about if anyone who does not have the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. The oil was burned out. Whether it's burned out or gone down. The truth here, the truth here is that you can't go on this race with half Holy Spirit. There is nothing like half, 75%, 80% Holy Spirit. You either have the oil or you don't have it. So you either have the oil or you don't have it. That's the thing. That's why these ones. The Bible actually said their lamp God went out. Well, either it went out because no more oil. It went out because the wood, the whatever, what is it you put in that lamp that burns? The wood, yes. Whether it's the wood that got finished, but the important thing there is that, yes, thank you, my dear. Yes. The important thing there is that you have to have the Holy Spirit to finish this race. So they didn't have it. The oil was gone. Yes, the lamp was there, but there was no oil. So what is going to burn? Nothing. The other thing that I have here, this is serious. Growing in the Spirit. The Lord will just help us so that we can constantly continue to grow. Every time we are here, something very significant keeps coming out in all our discussions. And that's the issue of the Holy Spirit. It keeps coming out. Here Jesus was just telling them, I am going to come when you don't expect. Only those who are in me, who have the Spirit of God, who can finish the race. Only those who are ready when I come. Not trying to get ready when he comes. Which means, like the foolish with this thing, remember they were sleeping. Which means somebody, as we all know, can go on this race for 80 years and it may remain 1 week for Christ to come and the lamb will burn out. Christ is going to tell that person, I know you not. His standard is simple. Only those who endure to the end will I give. When you go to Revelation, when he was talking to the churches, he kept on repeating it. Only those who endure till the end will I give. Only those who endure till the end will I give. He didn't say those who probably manage. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I have finished the race. I have fought a good fight. And it's a fight. It is a real fight. And brethren, let's look at the lives of these two groups. Because a lot of time, because we want to sharpen iron with iron, we get blunt in trying to sharpen other people's iron. If any of those five wise had borrowed, even though it was not possible to borrow, that would have been the end of both them.
And the foolish.
And remember what they said? Sorry, this thing cannot be enough for
both of us.
Why didn't they go to sharpen? Share. That's the limit for what we must begin to share. If we know that somebody is going to pull you down, weaken your spirit in this race. Brethren, run like Joseph. Run. Because in the process that you are getting blunt, Christ may come. And if he does come, he's not going to say, I want to forgive you because we're trying to sharpen somebody else. No. Are you ready to meet me? I pray the Lord God Almighty will continue to be speaking to our hearts.
Amen.
Because I am so zealous for this group. Because this Bible called Digging Deep, it has become a group now. I'm being frank.
Yeah, because
I'm just being frank.
Only same set of faces we see every Tuesday.
Because you see. So I'm just praying that this group, all this sacrifice, will not go in vain in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Finally, I said, let me do what I have here. Well, this time around, the bridegroom had come. If they had done that before the arrival of the bridegroom, there would have been no problem. Yes, when he came, they were not there.
Yes. That's so the whole essence of the story.
When you check out of Christ, then you want to check him back, and rapture has taken place. So it's too late.
That's true.
Okay. So that is the thing that the Word of God is just trying to tell us.
Yeah.
That remember, if we read the Bible, let me see, because there's something that I bring out. Thank you for bringing that one. He said, and at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It was that time, suddenly, they discover, I see this guy. vision. They now came to the wise one and said, please just share with us so that we can trim and go and build the grave. And that one said, it's already here. We don't even have time to be turning our lamp and be sharing oil with you. Talk more, people give it. It will not even be enough. It has been burning all these years. We have been on this race. So, the seller is just by the gate. Run quickly. After all, they are just making the announcement. It's already come. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Yeah.
So those foolish people had the opportunity to go with the bride. So wasn't as if it was studied unto them. Right? That's what it wasn't as if I don't know. It wasn't as if it was studied to them.
They woke up at the same time.
Praise the Lord. But if you read the place where the announcement was made, the announcement was made in verse 6. And it was in verse 9. No. Yeah.
So wasn't just because they were foolish that they made a wrong decision. So you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to understand because it's like when saying that they did not know, that they did not realize that the bridegroom was around. That's what
can I say something before that? Okay. Right now as we are sitting down here, did we know? Have we not aware of the fact that we just tried to come at the same time? So they know the sudden coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we don't know. It could be by then, it could be when God just suddenly come. We all know. So it's in the same thing with them, they know. So at the time what the story is telling us, at the time Jesus Christ came,
I want to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to, you see, the announcement that was made in verse 6, I want to liken it to the word of God that is going out recently, that we are in the end time. We are in the end time. We are in the end time. You know, recently a lot of messages have been saying that we are in the end time because of what Jesus Christ says will happen at the end time. But the actual day and moment, nobody knew. But these signs are coming. Because if you read that, it was actually in verse 10. In verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were being hearing, oh, he's here. We are at the end time. Nations is rising against nations. Knowledge has become too much. All the abominable things that will happen at the end. Man marrying man, woman marrying woman. It's happening. We are at the end time. And that was the time they went to go and buy oil. Before they came back, Jesus Christ actually came. Okay. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit will continue to enlighten us in the name of Jesus. The import of this message and the parable started in Matthew 24 verse 3. It was in Matthew 24 verse 3, and as he sat, this is the disciple of Jesus Christ talking, and they were talking about him. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? They wanted to know the exact time. And that was when he started talking to them. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, as I deceive many. He told them a lot of things. But he now ended by telling them this parable, that all you need to do is to be 100% ready. Be prepared, because nobody knew the exact time. Nobody knew. It's going to be like a thief in the night. And that is why Ephesians, this is what I want to leave us with. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, downward. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We need to do all to stand. And what are those all that we need to do? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We must keep to the truth of the word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. These are what we need to do, all that we need to do. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for saints. And for me, okay, I close with that. We need to do all. The foolish virgin left only one thing, just one thing, and that deprived them the reigning with the bridegroom. I pray that we will do all in the name of Jesus. God will strengthen us. We will not leave anything that we are supposed to do. We won't leave it behind in the name of Jesus. So we rise and just pray 1 minute prayer that God will help us. Give us the grace to do all as we run this race. So let's cry unto him. Let's cry unto him. Let's cry unto him that we... Let's ask him to strengthen us on this race.